Welcome, After Buzzers. On today's After Show for Luke Cage, we cover episode 1 and 2. Mariah gets her groove back, Luke and Claire's rocky relationship, and Misty's homecoming. Stay tuned for more.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, After Buzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Welcome back, guys. We are here for an all-new season 2 of Luke Cage. Yes. I'm excited. Are you guys excited?
Yes. Yeah.
An all-new panel. We got an all-new panel. Any of you guys did the panel last year?
No.
All newbies.
Yeah, so,
well, I'm a newbie.
Yeah, so all new panel, guys. So hopefully you enjoy our insights. We'll be covering episodes 1 and 2 right now, and hopefully we'll be able to give you some predictions, even though I think some of us have watched till 4, right?
Mm-hmm. For sure.
We've all watched till 4.
For sure. So our predictions should be correct.
Yeah.
We should have a bad prediction at this point.
Yes. Yeah.
Better now.
And then we're gonna, and maybe we'll produce predictions for beyond 4.
Yeah.
And then we'll talk about 3 and 4 as well.
All right, cool.
And then we got news coming up. We got some news to report. So I think Sarai is going to have some news for us.
Great. Yes.
And let me go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Shaka Smith.
Evan Mack.
Zia Anderson.
Sarai.
So hopefully you guys are in our chat. We love when you guys chat with us. And we're just, hopefully you guys are there. You guys got the chat up? So we got the chat up, guys, and we'll be watching for you. But we're just going to get into it. What were your overall thoughts about episodes 1 and 2?
I think it was fire, man. They opened the first episode with Shook Ones. One of the greatest, you know about hip-hop in New York and now, one of the greatest rap songs in hip-hop history by Mobb Deep. And it was like the perfect opening to see Luke Cage coming in there playing Shook One, because he got everybody shook.
Yeah.
And it was real cool to hear Prodigy from Mobb Deep rap again. And that was one of my favorite parts of both seasons, actually.
Yeah, I agree. They start off with culture. He comes in with an African-American College of Legion sweatshirt.
Yeah, right?
We haven't seen that since Michael Jackson was black. You know what I mean? Like, and here it is, hot off the press. So I was like, okay, you know, did some research on it. And, you know, Tupac and all those guys used to wear it back in the day. And now they're basically trying to revamp it.
Yeah. Nice, I like that. Mm-hmm. I loved episode 1 and 2. I like that they jumped right in.
Yeah.
We got to see a little bit of the Bushmaster already, which I was into because I was waiting for that from the comics. And then, Mariah.
Yeah, I love that they jumped right in.
Yeah.
We got action right away, got the villains, and we got a little bit of past history from Luke and Mariah. So we got a lot of things unfolding in this season. But let's go ahead and look at our first topic. Mariah gets her groove back. In many different ways, but of course, the one way that's glaringly apparent throughout this episode. These two are all over each other. This is real love to me, right?
I think he's real. At first, I thought he was doing it like the older man trying to sleep his way to the top with the older woman.
Yeah.
But,
See, that's what I still think. I still think they're both using each other.
Oh, I don't know. Like, I believe they're doing it at the same time, but... But Shade's at the moment where she killed Cottonmouth in season 1, Shade made her feel like a very powerful woman. Like he looked that woman in her eyes and was like you can do more things. You were always stronger than Cottonmouth. We can do this together if you just like trust me. Of course he's always looking for the better thing, but Shade, I think Shade's fell a little.
He fell a little bit.
The scene with Arturo, and we know the importance of Arturo to Mariah's business.
Yeah.
And he just said a little thing about Mariah.
Yeah. He could talk about like snitching all he wants. Like when he started talking to her, going like all these names, that's when he shot her.
Yeah. And he went to Spanish too, so he was saying heard a few like little things in there, you know, not that good with Spanish. Yeah. But I was like, and then the gun to the head, that sold it for me. I was like, okay, he's serious.
Yeah, I was like, he's in love. Serious. This is love. And what do you guys think about Mariah going clean? Because, you know, getting her groove back, she's also trying to like really wash this money and leave the life.
Yeah. The first thing I thought about was Power, believe it or not. I don't know if you guys seen that show, but, you know, it's one person trying to get out the drug business because he wants to have clean money. And then there was, another person who, you know, everyone else was trying to make him stay in the business and kind of stay with the drugs. So I thought about Power, but I also think that that's a great idea because that's the sensible thing to do. Like, the drug world has a short time frame. You know, mostly everyone either go to rap music or, you know, they branch off to something else.
It almost humanized her for me where she's like, I want to get, like, I'm tired
I
of this
grow
life.
Old, yeah.
Yeah, like, she's a hardened woman because of her grandma and like, the Stoke legacy. And, like, you know, like, prostitution, drugs, guns, not just drugs, guns and everything like that. And she feels like with this one deal that she can wipe everything away.
Yeah.
She's starting to realize it's gonna be harder than what she thinks. But she thinks with this one deal, we go to the jet, I get my daughter, I do my thing, and it's going to be all good. But... it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, and speaking of this deal, so we got Piranha, this kind of fast-talking
wheel.
Don't trust him.
My question for me, as I was watching this, I'm like, Mariah's a savvy woman. She's been doing this for a long time. Why isn't she asking more questions?
Yeah.
Where's the follow-up, right?
I feel like she's just relying on him so much. She's just trusting him to kind of get her where she needs to go. And also, I kind of have a feeling she's been dirty for so long that this is like, this is new to her. So she's like, I don't know exactly how to go about this. So I'm going to just trust you and hope that you're not going to screw me over.
Yeah, that just bothered me. I was like, how did you not have some more followers?
Yeah, I think she's just so excited about the deal going through and she's going to give him power of attorney. Like, she trusts that Shades is going to do all the dirty work.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to be off in the wings doing this thing. But she's a little arrogant right now.
Yeah.
She's feeling herself a little bit. She's like, I'm worried about this foundation. I'm worried about going straight. Like, he got it, you know. Yeah. She trusts her brother, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but she's doing things behind his back. He looked incredibly shocked when he found out that she had the club up as leverage, or how do you say
collateral.
As collateral. Because it's leverage, you know. Yeah. But when she found that out, so obviously they're not communicating as a team.
No.
Yeah.
Which is what leads me to believe that Mariah is using Shades, because she gives him looks sometimes that she's not all in.
Yeah, I do believe she's not quite all in with Shades. But we do see Mariah getting her groove back in other areas of her relationship with her daughter now, too, that we're, like, suddenly introduced to.
Yeah, but it started off as a publicity stunt to pave her way.
I feel terrible for the daughter. I'm so sad that she hasn't seen it, because she's clearly using her for political gains. What was it, 12 years that they hadn't talked? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where was she for the past 12 years? And she comes back in when she needs her, and her daughter's like, I mean, I understand when you love your parent, but...
But it does feel like the daughter kind of knows. She's kind of like, I don't trust you.
She doesn't. Yeah.
But if you look at the dynamic, because she's such a good actor, Mariah, the Lady Prince Mariah, she's been
rewarded,
fantastic.
I've been watching her my whole life. Yeah. If you watch it, when the lady brings it up, she makes that face like she wants to reconnect, but she's scared to.
Because she's
scared to, but then she was like, okay, your political agenda is like, you know what? I want this so bad that I'll get over my fear of talking to my daughter. So it's like she does want both. She wants the connection.
She's protecting her. Like, when different business partners come in the room and it's kind of sketchy, she's like, oh, you know, kind of like, close your ears, baby. Or not in front of the daughter, you know, like, she's completely naive to what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I love the daughter's character, though. I love the breath of fresh air that we're getting in this.
And someone who's not a villain.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Not so far. It doesn't seem like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but she did have an interesting rapport with, like, the Bushmaster. And
she knew he was up to something.
Yeah.
She was looking at all the ingredients he brought in and was like, what is this?
Yeah. I kind of want to know those ingredients, though.
Nightshade is one of them.
Let me find out if I could breathe into that.
What kind of basil and thyme makes you invincible, kind of pizza ingredients make you that strong. That's crazy.
And I think from there we have Luke and Claire's relationship. Mm-hmm. Really, I mean, I think it's going to be the entirety of the season that we're going to be dealing with this relationship.
True love.
But before,
you think so?
Yeah.
I think he may go for Misty eventually. I think.
I've had that tension.
She's always been on the table.
Yeah.
But I really, not
on the table. But not figuratively on the table.
I really appreciate the way that Misty is with them, though.
Yeah.
Like, she's very much like Team Claire, I guess you could put it. I like that.
Yeah, she's not a bad.
Because
Misty knows. Misty's just one of another strong woman character. But she realized she had her moment, but the whole first season, she's questioning Luke Cage the whole season.
Yeah. Sure.
She's all up in his business. She's like, she's trying to thwart what he does. So she kind of hits that point like, yeah, I lost him. I lost Luke Cage.
Yeah.
But you never see that Claire from her in terms of, you always see her supporting Claire.
Yeah.
Jealousy, no cattiness.
Yeah.
I love that.
Because she respects what she does. She respects what Claire does as well, and she respects that she's a strong woman as well, and she can actually handle Luke a little bit. Mm-hmm. And Misty, like I said, you know when you shoot your shot and miss, and what you just let the other lady
let it go.
And Luke Cage comes back, then he comes back.
It's still in the family, though. Like, she's been patched up by Claire. You know, if she ever get hurt, it's a family thing.
And saved Claire.
And Misty is still partly married to her work to a certain extent.
Without
She probably wouldn't know how to do a full-time relationship with Luke Cage anyways.
Right.
Yeah. Without it compensating, you know.
I feel like no matter what, you're going to get some fighting with a relationship like that, because he's so in the limelight.
Yeah.
And he's doing such dangerous work that obviously there's going to be some friction there. But I feel like Claire is a better fit. Because she's, not that Misty isn't the voice, but Claire, I always felt like throughout all of the shows, is the voice of reason. She's there being like...
Oh, without question.
Look, you need to... What are you doing? She's that person.
I've always liked Misty, though, just because she was in the police department. So it was sort of like they could really play off each other, kind of like buddy-buddy.
Like, she basically let him get off when he beat...
True.
When he beats
Cockroach.
Yeah, whether people know it or not, they've, like, Luke Cage has created two of the strongest black characters in the history of TV.
Oh, yeah.
In history of film, cinema. Like, those, Mariah... Listen, and Misty, they are a powerful, powerful bunch, man. When you watch Misty, she is powerful.
Yeah.
Every scene, she's in the scene with men all the time. Mm-hmm. And she always seems like she has control.
You never really
notice
it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. She owns it. Yeah. Absolutely. And I think that's it speaks volumes of how she handles her business. And seeing her transition from season one to season two, because she's a little bit broken right now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And are you a huge Luke Cage fan? I don't know if you shout out your outfit for the fans.
I like Luke a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're listening to this podcast, you don't see that Evan is dressed as Luke Cage right now.
He's dedicated.
Amazing. Yeah, it's cool to be black now. You know what I mean? It's cool to be black
and TV, though. And I don't even know if they can tell, but this is not his head. He put a ball cap on. This is makeup.
Shaka, I told you all set, because if I go bald for real, it ain't coming back, brother. It ain't coming back. The hairline just will not return.
Well, I love the dedication, so I'm going to go ahead and let you read this live read. Get our After Buzzers involved.
He set your boy up. Yes, After Buzzers. Listen to me now. Listen, here at the network, we produce after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There's no network that works harder to serve television fans, but now we need your help. See, we're asking you to subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. Besides helping us a ton, this is what's in it for you. It caters specific content you already like directly to you. It brings you your favorite after shows so you don't have to seek them out. And it suggests content from other channels or podcasts that might interest you. Subscribing to our YouTube channels will also help you discover new shows like The Luke Cage Show. Mm-hmm. I'm on like the NXT show and the WWE shows and Shaka Dust, Celebrity Fit Club. Mm-hmm. And it's really good to get you guys on different shows if you subscribe to our shows. So please don't be shy about subscribing to them either. And if you're worried about those pesky notifications, don't be. They're optional. It's easy. Just hit that subscribe button now, or even an easier AfterBud experience. Let us know that you did, and we will shout you out personally. I see y'all in the chat right now, so we will shout you out personally.
Yeah, and I just actually subscribed yesterday, because I was subscribed to AfterBuzz TV, but not AfterBuzz Sci-Fi.
Right. Ah.
So if you guys are only subscribed to AfterBuzz TV, subscribe to Sci-Fi, and then go ahead and turn off the notifications if you don't want them. You know.
If you like your sports, subscribe to AfterBuzz Sports, and then the Popcorn Talk.
Animation.
Subscribe.
Archer.
Specifically to the animation, so you get after shows like Archer.
Yeah, so thank you guys. We really appreciate and love the support. And so we got some more topics to cover. I don't think we're really done with kind of Luke and Claire and that push and pull that they're having. One of the lines that she says is, "Not every siren's for you." That kind of struck me. Whereas he's now kind of in his thing and he finally feels free to run after people. What do you guys think about that?
That's a tough one, because I understand where she's coming from. She loves him. She's worried about him going out and risking his life. Although, as far as people going out to risk their lives go, being bulletproof is good.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to worry about those sort of things.
It's true.
However, no matter what, she's still going to worry. So she's still going to have a little bit of that protectiveness there. But I feel like she has to let Luke go do what Luke wants to do. Because at the end of the day, he's helping a lot of people.
True.
And that's what he feels like his calling is. And it's hard when you feel like someone's holding you back. So I understand where that, you know, the butting heads is coming in.
Yeah, and at that same moment, though, she has that look, because Rosario always handles business. So she's a bad girl. She looked at him like, you know, what are you going to do? She looked at him, you know, he kissed her on her hand, and then she lets him go. You know, she knows has to do what he has to do.
Yeah. I feel like she cares for his life. You know, that's definitely at the forefront. But I also think, as a woman, that she also cares about the quality time.
True.
You know, let's say they finally get a time to themselves. You hear a siren. He's like Clark Kent. He's running out the room that fast, you know. So I think she also wants time where he's off the clock,
but
in his job.
But
you know,
but is she being selfish? Is she being selfish? And then, and not even just, she didn't seem to want his time off the clock, but she wants his time on the clock, because she says something like, "I'm not just your woman; I want to be your backup." But I'm like, you don't have
your mind.
We have special skills.
You must learn to get shot, girl.
Because that was the whole reason he wasn't able to kind of like put the screws to Mariah, because she was there.
Absolutely. I feel like she's a hindrance.
Yeah.
Because he's going to constantly be, well, just in that situation, because he's constantly going to be worrying about her. And in her case, she is not bulletproof at all.
Yeah, she's the weakness. True.
Like, why is she so gung-ho about going into
I'll protect you.
It's like the Mary Jane syndrome, though, but he's with. You're always going to have that constant worry. Peter Parker's always going to have to worry about Mary Jane, because she's a regular person. But at the same time, Luke, you put a strong Latina woman, man. You can't just push her to the backside and be like, oh, yeah, you chill right here. I'll be back, sweetheart.
Just
go in the kitchen and make some dinner. She's like, no, I'm with you stride for stride. I'm with you in this journey. If I get shot, if you get shot, I want to get shot.
Yeah. But she fixes it.
Yeah.
Being that, having the nurse degree or whatever, when someone gets hurt, she's there to fix the pieces. Like, I think she's a pretty good.
Yeah.
She need a vest. Bulletproof vest and everything else, and she can ride with him a little more.
And I think they need to be a little bit further back. Not necessarily, all the way back right in it. Just, you know, there.
Behind the bulletproof man.
Yes, there you go.
And that might be a communication issue, I think. If they were to talk and say, look, I cannot have you on site, but you can be close by when I call upon you.
Yes.
So maybe just, you know, she wants to be so involved, she feels like she's got to be there, but they're not really talking about what's happening.
Yes.
Communication, guys.
It's true.
Another facet to their rocky relationship is his father. And I'll have to ask you guys. Your thoughts in general on his father, and then is she getting too involved? Because that's like
it's interesting the way this show is going. It's very interesting. She is, because that dynamic is so powerful. She's relating with what happened with her family with him. But the thing about it is, I do believe the father's contrite, though. I actually do believe he might have turned into a leaf, but. You can't just always get stuff back.
Yeah.
Like Luke has to get this on his own time. It's not like he calls him dad.
Yeah.
You call anybody dad, it's still your father to you. He's just like, I ain't ready though, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, he's not ready. He's
you
not
can't
ready for that
force
moment.
That. Yeah,
and she's pushing a little too hard.
Very hard.
We're talking about a man that cheated on the mom, had a kid he didn't recognize.
Willis Stryker.
You're talking about the Diamondback. Y'all know Diamondback. Y'all watched season one.
Almost got him killed.
And then he fast forward the time he tries to murder him. Mm-hmm. Then he doesn't visit him in prison. Then he doesn't find out from him that the mother died.
Sends all the letters back.
We acted like he's supposed to say, what's up, Claire? You gotta chill. This ain't your daddy. Yeah.
She's trying to fix the problem. Mm-hmm. She sees the root of his anger and a lot of his problem is through his daddy issues. And she's trying to repair him. But I do agree. She's
like, it's like
fix it with me. Like, we talk, and then I tell you I'm not ready, then move on.
I find out
you went to the church, and then you spoke with him afterwards, and then put my business. Yeah.
That was one thing I did not agree with Claire on at all. And not only that, even like you say, he might be contrite, but they're meeting in the street. He was not speaking very nicely to his son. And it's like, why would you go back and have a relationship with someone that's still going to treat you like crap?
Yeah.
What's the point of that?
Because he still got that, you know, he got that persona about him.
Yeah.
You my son. I don't care if you're bulletproof or not.
Yeah.
He wants to flex on him. Like, I got the power of the Lord.
They both have that power of the
Lord.
He said, you bulletproof, man, but I ain't trying to hear. I'm your daddy. See how he flexed on him? He flexed on him quick. Yeah. Boy, you watch your mouth, man.
What do you think his intentions is towards Luke Cage? Why now? Why do you think? Do you think it's the popularity? Do you think...
I mean, it's possible, especially considering the fact that he wrote him how many letters and he just 50. Sent them back?
It's
interesting.
But he knew the number, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So like, he
did know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think he's back for good reasons. I think the show is very just true to life. You know, like, some people make mistakes and they come back and they try to make right, but at the same time, they can't betray who they are as a person.
Mm.
So, like, he's just a smooth dude that's going to tell you like it is, even though he's trying to be contrite, but that's still his, like, character flaw,
yes,
right?
It is, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he was preaching the sermon against his own son in the pulpit.
Yeah,
Did you guys catch that?
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, is if you go to church and you know, like, his whole thing is, like, I want you to understand that he's just a man. Mm. No one can ever supersede the powers of God.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't care if that's my son or not. I'm here to preach a sermon. My sermon saying, stop putting your faith in this boy. Like, the only person that teaches you the promised land. So, of course, he's salty, man. You know he'd still be a preacher if he was Luke Cage.
Mm-hmm.
If he had Luke Cage's power.
Yeah.
He would still be a preacher. He's a little salty about Luke having all this power. And he's just a preacher. So he has to weave it into his sermon to kind of get out his own little personal, you know what I mean, psychosis, to be honest with you.
But he didn't need to say anything. He could have just let it go.
Tons of stories in the Bible. A preacher about Luke Cage. She's never been any of chapters.
Yeah.
That's chapter 2018. No. That's definitely not chapter whatever back in the day.
No, but I would have to imagine that every preacher in Harlem is preaching some aspect of Luke Cage.
You know what I mean? Like, because it is relevant to what's happening now.
It's part of everyone's sermon. Yeah.
That's true.
Which I almost thought was funny. When we started off, we saw they're making the Luke Cage drugs.
Yeah.
It reminds me how in, like, California, anything crazy that happens, like a new marijuana strain named after that. So the community is very plugged into Luke Cage and who he is and what he's doing.
He's the culture.
He is the culture.
Put it on heroin.
Yeah.
That's the one? Okay.
Want to feel high for a second? Get this Luke Cage.
He's like, get that Luke Cage. It's five, man. It's bulletproof, man.
And that's how you probably feel on heroin.
Get that Luke Cage.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Did any of you find yourself not liking Luke so much because of the way he and Claire's dynamic was? especially when we see him kind of lose his cool with Cockroach as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was interesting because... Yeah. That was interesting. Go ahead.
Yeah, oh, I was just going to say. No, sorry. We're all like. Well, anyway. No, I was just going to say the thing with cockroaches, that's a hard one because I understand why he wanted to beat him to death.
And I mean, I was four. I was like, yeah. Yeah. Like,
seriously, that guy is beating on his family for who knows how long. Mm-hmm. And you get this weird moral gray area where it's like, do people like that actually deserve to die? Is he that big of a piece of crap that you're like, no, just let him die?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would have just waited for a thumbs up or a thumbs down from the mom.
Let me know. What do you want? Yeah.
I feel like he's battling between the man and the hero. He's been the man longer than he's been the hero. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he may not even necessarily know his strength. He's just, he doesn't have the privilege of reacting to certain things. Let's say someone pisses him off and he gets in a fight. Mm-hmm. He now has to think as the hero too, or if I punch him, I can kill him, as opposed to when I punch him back in the day, it's just, you know, just men scrapping.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, and but you catch the EMS saying, you know, Luke Cage for mayor. I wanted to visit my man's sister. You know what I mean? So like my sister's man, and like so they're cool with it. Well, you know, and then Luke is just in a different space right now.
He's
and
balanced. It's all new to him.
Yeah,
you know, it's all new to him.
Well, and also you see the system fail women like that. True. So often.
Absolutely. Misty really brought that up as she talked.
And you heard
about
what he said. Yeah. He's like, I'm out here doing y'all's job.
Yeah.
He's like, why you get mad at me? You call me, you acting like I'm a suspect.
Yeah.
I shouldn't even be here.
Yeah.
Like that's why he's
I shouldn't have been putting these calls on right now.
Like y'all people don't understand something. His whole dynamic is Luke doesn't even want these powers. He never wanted these powers.
He didn't want money, nothing.
Come on, I'm a cop, clear my name, and like next thing you know, I'm tortured almost to death, and now I'm this Luke. He's like, I never wanted this. Y'all brought this evil on me. I ain't want this. So he's constantly battling that thing.
Should he seek it? Because
what he has.
Because Claire kind of wants to do like a PR campaign. Are you superhero or vigilante? And she says, you know what? It's okay to make money.
Yeah, yeah.
Should he be going down that way? Like, it looks like Nike wants to.
Oh, the best line was from the OG, man. Yeah. He was like, just because you a woke superhero don't mean you gotta be a broke superhero.
That's right.
That's the line of the first season. I mean, the second season, I was like, yeah, like, bro, listen.
He needs to wear a shirt, broke superhero.
We get it, bro. Black lives matter, but you gotta sign that check, man. Yeah.
He still needs to pay bills. You have to eat. Like, you need a place to live.
He's not a sellout, man. You gotta make money, man. Yeah. Pop spot about the clothes because of rent. Like, it's okay to make a couple deals here and there.
Some people think humility is being broke or being at the bottom. You could be, you know, be very humble but still be wealthy.
Yeah. Or make a living.
Yeah.
You know, just eat some food. That'd be cool.
And I think that was my favorite part, I think, of the two episodes was that NFL like mock combine. Yeah. It was like, how quick and how good is Luke Cage actually? And for me, I loved it because it really brought the superhero character more grounded. It made him more grounded.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. You know, the other shows, like, superpowers that you can't even really mimic, but here you could kind of see it felt like very organic. Yeah.
So true. And it's crazy because, like, if Luke wasn't, like, that figure that he was, he could be a great athlete. But since they know what his powers are, he could be that guy who'd be like, hey, I'm just going to do an open trial.
Take
a little bit back and, like, be in the NFL. Yeah. Like, he could do so much, but since he's such a public figure, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard for him to make that profit in the league.
We want to talk about Misty's homecoming, but real quickly, what did you guys think? Just he's getting stronger, and I didn't know that he evolved. What do you guys think about that? That the he Judas evolved? Like, did you kind of know about it? I guess you read the comics, right?
Well, yeah. When the Judas bullet hits him, I think that when he went to in the last season, when he was dying from the Judas bullet, I think that strengthened him. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that now he's just gotten stronger from that.
Yeah, the Judas bullet is like nothing now.
I think that's smart, though. Let's say, just as a writer, from a writer standpoint, I think that's smarter because, let's say, if that's his weakness and that will continue to be his weakness, then the elephant in the room is, if you want to get rid of Luke Cage, get a Judas bullet. Yeah. But if we solve that, now we can see what his other weaknesses are, which is his relationships, his father, et cetera, et cetera.
And that race to get the next thing that could really hurt him.
Yes.
And then, of course, the natural bravado that's going to come with, not even that can kill me?
Yeah, so he's going to be a little bit more ready.
And he got cockier.
He was smelling himself.
He was
dabbing on somebody all up in the all up in the camera, like, yo, come find me.
Find
me.
I'm gonna tell Luke Cage to never do that dab again. That was the worst dab I've ever seen.
Because it was a calculated dab. It was like a very mechanical dab.
I didn't like the dab.
Chocolate was not feeling the dab. Yo, chat room, was y'all feeling the dab?
I'm with you on that. I just think it's not natural. Like, for some people, if they don't dab, just don't do it. Like, I would never do it. It would be bad.
Let the dad be dead.
And then we had to talk about Misty's homecoming, which I think was one of the bright spots of all of this, just watching her emotional growth and dealing with missing this arm. What did you guys think about that?
Oh, I mean, I am ridiculously impressed by how she handled that. Oh, my gosh. She was insanely strong through all of that. Like you're saying, she's such a strong woman. She hardly felt sorry for herself at all. I mean, she went, you go through that of like, I'm missing an arm. I don't think I would have handled it that well. That was amazing. And she's still going, she wants to go back to work immediately. She's ready. It's not really holding her back that much.
I marvel at anyone that can lose a limb in real life or in a show that can lose a limb and continue. Because I always think about that, like how fortunate we are just to have like our faculty. Honestly. So you know she's strong when she's staring at a Purple Heart with 3x pension and tax-free and still comes back to work. If you just want to know what type of person Misty is, that's all you need to know. She won't even take free money and just chill. Because she knows she'd be sitting in the apartment alone, drinking. That's, she loves what she does. And I like that she's like, no matter what, I'm coming back to this.
And I love that scene where she tells everyone, hey, take a look. Because she's
staring at that boy out. Just look at me. Because everyone was already looking anyways. They were all kind of giving her glances and looking over the shoulder, over their shoulder. So she was like, okay, listen, everybody all at once.
Look at my heart.
Look at it. It's there. It happened. Move on.
I was so annoyed by the cop that told her old partner was like, your injury makes people uncomfortable. How does that make you uncomfortable? I'm the one that lost an arm. Like, excuse me.
And then the joke, too, the guy makes Santa need a hand.
Yeah, I was like, is that real or is that just cop culture?
Man, they all had jokes, man. Everybody, the perps had jokes. Everybody was trying to.
Catch. And I was like, what? You know I can't catch.
But you know what? Funny enough, I almost felt like in that scene she was speaking to the people in the scene, but also to the audience, because I was staring at the arm, too.
That's a good job.
It looks different.
That's great. Yeah.
It's well said.
And you want to watch her move and, like, you know, and it does make you uncomfortable when she gets in, like, a bar fight. You're like, what's going to happen?
Yeah,
that was awesome. But strengthened by Colleen, which I love that scene. Do you love that Colleen scene of her sparring with Misty?
Yes, that was amazing. I am really excited about the Daughters of the Dragon. I don't want to give too much away. I hope that shows up. I really hope that shows up.
Daughters of the Dragon?
It's a
Colleen and Misty.
She gets an arm.
There's stuff in the comic that, you know, it's hopefully they do. And hopefully they kind of...
I hope they utilize that.
Let's see what they got going on.
I think they're going to just keep going with this. This is a Marvel age right now. Yeah. From the big screen to Netflix. What is Netflix? The small screen? The medium? What is Netflix?
It's bigger
the
medium? It's bigger
the
than
online
small.
Screen?
It's
medium, yeah.
And both of you guys read the comics?
Mm-hmm.
So you guys kind of know how true to the comics have they stayed?
They're doing pretty good.
Really impressed.
They really are. First comic was like 1972. Even in the number one issue, Diamondback premieres in the number one issue. He's in the number one. He's in the first Luke Cage comic ever.
Because I always thought to be successful, they need to kind of like appease the comic book heads, because those are the people who want to watch it first. And call you out.
We'll wait till we get to the other one.
Bushmaster?
We'll wait.
So the Bushmaster is obviously explained in the comics.
Well, in the comics, it's slightly... I mean, I guess this isn't giving it away too much. It's just a little bit different.
There's a couple of them.
There's two different versions. One has mechanical arms. Mechanical abilities. But this one, supposedly he got his powers by going through similar processes, Luke Cage
does.
Yeah.
So I like that they're doing this. I like that they're doing this Jamaican run. I like that they're doing this. He's got it from the island. He's gotten this thing from a more of a spiritual place.
Missing soul.
And I will say that's the only criticism I have, because they had some actors that had awful
Jamaican accents.
The accent, I was just like,
See, a lot of people that's good insight. That's why I'm glad you're on this panel. See, a lot of people don't know that though, because I'm looking at the accent, I'm like, oh, this boy accent is fire. I was like, bullshit. I was like,
what about the Curry Goat line?
I was like, I need y'all to just keep talking like that. You've heard how they sound.
I would have they had a more authentic accent, and then like maybe if you need subtitles, put subtitles in. You know, I don't know if that was a concern or if that was...
That's definitely what it is.
Absolutely.
You know?
But some were awfully, like they weren't good, and some had like Jamaican accents that I thought they were trying to make it more Americanized.
They don't want people to have the head scratch. Like,
I understood everything, and usually I can't. So I was like, okay.
And all those digs, you know, I can't tell if he's singing or talking. And, you know, I was like,
I said that'd be how it be though.
Singing and talking. That was funny.
But we know our own stereotypes, so we joke with
that's
them too.
So true.
So are there herbs out there that can make me invincible?
I've been trying to take them for years. You know,
but you relatively fit. You probably on this.
Yeah, I know, right?
A little nip of nightshade every day.
Maybe it's called vegan, right?
And then also with Misty's homecoming, we see her really trying to get back in the game and get into these rooms and do these interviews. Is she too gung-ho? Does she need to take a seat back?
Oh, yeah. Now, we just because we like to see it doesn't mean like we got to think from like right. A, let's say the show was real and from a real perspective, and she was a real cop. Like she got chill.
She should have sat in the corner for a solid month and then maybe poke your head out, right?
Because she's already on the hot seat.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, if she would have just played... Like, sometimes you do got to play the game a little bit. Right. And this new captain is just waiting to, like, flag Luke Cage.
But she kind of knows, like, you can't fire the Purple Heart one-armed cop that just came back to
work. But her passion is getting her... Yeah. Her passion is getting her into places. For example, when she finds the headless Nigel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
You're right. Headless Nigel. I didn't know what to call him.
No, but it goes, You're right. It goes both ways, though. You're right, though. Like this, her same passion is what's getting into trouble, but also getting there back in her groove, though.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, it's Miss, do your thing, girl.
Misty needs to get laid.
Yeah.
I'm concerned.
In my opinion.
Yes.
She needs to get laid. I'm sorry. But that's how I feel about it. Now, I don't know if that happens in comic books, but hopefully, you know.
I wonder if they will address that, because they've been addressing some overarching issues, but how do you get back into the dating life when you've gone through a traumatic injury?
Yeah.
And they had the generational love that we had with Misty, with Mariah and Shades.
Yeah.
And of course, we had, I guess in 3 and 4, we can talk a little bit more about that when we get to it.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had some really great conversations on race and, you know, perception.
That's my best. That's the best element of the show, because what's going on, especially in the black community, and they're also doing a good job. The great scene between the young buck and the old head.
Yeah.
And they were talking about money versus, you know, what it means to be black.
Yeah.
Because the young buck was talking about Malcolm and Martin did this. He was like, no, bro. Yeah. They did this to bring awareness to the black plight. And so it was really good to see when they really do touch on that race. Because it's sensitive. It makes me loud
it's
and comfortable.
All
throughout.
Yeah.
But they do a really good job.
Mm-hmm. Even when they talk about Harlem getting gentrified.
Yeah.
Yeah, you saw that when that ridiculous white guy walked into the barbershop. Like,
he was excited, though.
he was excited. Like, oh, my God.
And I know for me, I love the acting on screen, the story. I forget I'm watching a show with like a largely black cast.
Without question, bro.
Yeah.
And it had, like I said, I like the show. Of course, it's a black show. It's cool, man. Yeah. It literally is. But when my best friend's a white guy, when he watches the show and goes, Evan, like this show is good.
It's just a good show.
I go, yeah, black people have good shows too, bro. Yeah. he's just so shy. Because Evan, this show is really good.
It's actually good.
Yeah. It's well acted. I go, no, because a lot of these actors you haven't seen. I love them, but a lot of these actors you haven't seen, like they've been getting work for a while. They're great actors in their own right, and they've been doing those movies that you have might not have seen, but they have been cutting their teeth on some good roles, and then now they're in this show.
Experience.
They're seasoned, and it's just a great cast. It really is.
Yeah, super well written. And let's talk about, before we go into our different segments, our news and our predictions. I want to talk a little bit about Bushmaster Nigel. Just how we were introduced to those two and their little, I mean, their brief showdown.
I want to know if his eyes is real. Are those real, right? The actor? Bushwack?
Bushmaster?
Bushmaster?
I didn't see anything.
His eyes?
You mean like
they're
gray?
They're gray?
Did the Lord give them? You never noticed.
I didn't notice.
Did the Lord give them to him, or did the show give them to him?
Yeah, did the show give them? Is that in the comics? Because
his eyes are vicious, man.
Wait, noticed that they were
gray? Yeah, they're grayish blue.
They're like a blue, silver, gray thing.
You never noticed that?
I felt like I was staring at his eyes in certain scenes. I didn't notice.
Yeah, so did I, because it shows.
So I wonder if that's...
We have to look now.
Check him out. You'll be like, oh, damn.
Yeah, is that in the comic?
I was looking. He was, when I remember the comic.
Not that I remember.
He's like in the comic, he's like in this green jumpsuit thing. So it's kind of like... He doesn't have them like that.
I thought I saw them and I thought they were brown.
No,
they're like a bluish gray, silver. They're dope.
Yeah, they're nice.
They almost like glow, man.
I do remember they definitely had like insets of just his face and like his eyes and the sun.
So intense. Yeah. Like he's very intense.
He has nice eyes. Beautiful color eyes.
Totally.
I just wonder if it was the actor.
He might be colorblind.
Maybe. Well, I've been told that before, so it's possible.
We might have discovered a new problem. But yeah, we see Bushmaster kind of coming to his own, and then he looks like he's got another plan for Harlem.
He's a rude boy. He's a rude boy for real, man.
Yeah,
I don't want no part of that dude, man.
Yeah,
hey, Yashaga, listen, if that's how y'all get down over there, you let me know if you got any Bushmaster in Jamaica. I will stay on the resort, brother.
So you're from Jamaica. I have to ask what you thought about the soundtrack whenever they went into Brooklyn.
Oh, that was such a redemption.
Like, fire, right?
See?
I got over the accent thing when I heard the soundtrack.
That's so funny, because I was born and raised in Hawaii, and all of those songs I grew up hearing. I was
really?
Like, I feel like I'm back home.
Awesome. Wow.
I'm like,
really
what is this?
Really?
Yeah, I thought that was amazing. But I also didn't realize that they were Jamaican songs because to me, growing up in Hawaii, I was like, these are Hawaiian songs, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not traditional Hawaiian, but you just thought they were Hawaiian.
I had no idea.
And they're definitely being real to the culture of New York in general because there's pockets in New York where it's all Caribbean. There's pockets where they're, you know, all Jewish.
Jamaica Queens, man.
Where they're all like Barinqua and all that stuff, Latino and Latin. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, and you see that real melting pot of Harlem throughout the series.
I like that.
Well, let's jump to our news, Sarai. I think you got some stuff for us.
Yes.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Oh, damn.
Hot off the press. Well, we know that Luke Cage came on Netflix before Black Panther, but it did so well. It was like, it's like the only Marvel series that did better than first season one did better than season two, or season two was season two was being anticipated more than season one.
Yeah.
Then after that, Black Panther came along. So according to this article, Luke Cage and Black Panther are thinking about doing some type of merger.
Wow. That would be interesting. From Harlem to Wakanda.
Yeah, Wakanda. Wakanda, yeah.
The brothers like made out of vibranium, so it works, man.
It
works either way.
And I wonder how they're going to tie the two.
It's interesting.
And we're still waiting on season three news for Luke Cage,
yes,
right?
Yes, we're still waiting to see if there's... I'm pretty sure they will, but...
I hope so.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So well done.
We're getting a season three of Daredevil, so
let's do
it.
And so is that all we got for news?
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
So for you big fans out there, just keep tight. You may see a little Black Panther mixed with a little Luke Cage.
Like the best part, that's the best part about Marvel. Like, if you don't know how great, like, comics are great, man, because they figure out a way, like all the writers back in the day, they always combined storylines. Yeah. So there's not, they don't have to usually throw things together. They probably already happened. Like, there's like a comic where Black Panther has a baby with Storm.
Yeah.
Like, think about that, baby. They just do crazy stuff like that where it actually exists. So, like, I can see it happening.
And actually, I can tack this on the news. DC and Marvel are both starting their own sort of like Netflix platforms where it'll be like, DC is. I think Marvel is teaming up with Disney to do
Disney,
that.
Yeah.
That makes more sense.
DC is starting their own independent platform with like Batman and Superman and all that stuff.
Well, they're doing also releasing on Disney the new. I started rewatching this because I haven't watched it since I was a kid, but the X-Men animated series.
Oh, best. Nice.
Yes. Next to
Batman, that's the greatest cartoon.
Yes, absolutely.
One of my favorites. Yes.
And according to this article, there is going to be a season three of Luke Cage.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah. Wow. So
we can announce that here.
Early in 2020.
You heard it here first.
2020.
So long.
Could land on 2020. I guess they're going to put some other fillers in between. You know, maybe another Defenders.
Yeah.
Or
Daredevil. Daredevil.
And then Iron Fist. Luke Cage 2020.
That's what's so scary is like, it sounds so far away, but we'll probably be right here at this desk.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Doing our thing.
Welcome back.
So for you guys out there, this is only on 1 and 2. We've watched 3 and 4, but no one's gone beyond 4, right?
I haven't.
Nope.
No. Okay. So no one's gone beyond 4. So we'll kind of do predictions that... Let's do, like, far away predictions that we think kind of might happen toward the end of the season.
All right.
And now...
I would say Misty's going to find love. I don't know. I just wanted to find love.
That's hopeful.
Oh, yeah.
I
want to
find love in a hopeless place. I'm hoping. I can see someone coming in there
with Luke
and
Cage
being her. Maybe.
Because
Claire is kind of, she's acting up, Claire. You're not playing in lane, Claire. We need you to be there, but the strong one behind the man, and you're kind of letting us down. You know, he's hitting walls and everything over you, Claire. So you need to fall in line, get off his daddy, and unless Misty's going to come in there. Misty's going to come in there, and, you know, I can't say anything about it.
Swoop up in there.
Yeah, swoop in.
I see the Shades and Mariah thing blowing up.
Yeah.
I'm waiting for that. Oh, I have a feeling that that's going to go south, and Shades is going to have to get out, and then they're going to be...
When
Comanche put that little birdie in his ear, he's like, yo, man, she took your spot, man.
Yeah.
And then, that ruffled his feathers.
He's still taking up for it. He was like, you basically make sure Mariah's okay.
Because that's faith in Shade. Shade, you could, the way they write it, they wrote him so well, and the guy acts him so well. Like, you could tell he has always had trust issues.
Yeah. Yes.
Probably since the womb, you know what I mean? So this is the first woman he genuinely trusts. And person. So I wouldn't advise her to cross this dude, though. He'll be all upset.
That's going
to
be her Achilles heel. I mean, that's going to be his Achilles heel.
I agree. 100%.
Because if it's just Shade versus Mariah, Mariah's gone. You know, if he's got no emotion for her, you know?
Yeah.
Because she's got no one else. At least I don't see any other muscle.
He don't. Those muscles are just muscle, you know, that he cares about.
Unless the darter comes in and be some type of... spell maker. She just creates spells that kill people.
Hernan is really, he fell hard, man. When we have trust issues, you finally find somebody. That's why he's holding on so tight. He's like, please, the Lord.
You sure that's the only thing that's tight? Hernan, because she has a strong grip. I don't know, like she's the puncher.
It's interesting though. They kind of said it like he's like messing with the old lady, but he likes that old lady. He don't even look at her like that. He's like, yo, this is my woman.
That's the queen. Oh, yeah. She gave him everything. You know?
Was that in the first two episodes where they're at the restaurant and the waiter?
Sucking on his fingers.
If a lot of people didn't notice because it was kind of quick, he goes in the back and
he beats the brakes off. Does he? Yeah, because they kind of gloss over.
They find that dude in the back and he beat the brakes off that dude.
I gotta know what server would ever be stupid enough to do that.
He was feeling himself.
He's like your auntie. Like, nope.
And she's just like, I'll show you, auntie, young man.
They do a lot of cool things with Hernan, though. They show when people test his gangster, though, man. He's a smaller guy. Yeah. That boy goes hard, man. I'm telling you, he will kill somebody in a second.
And he's smart enough to just be like, when she tells him to calm down.
Okay. All right, baby. So get in your feelings. He's like, all right, you know what? You bad.
Yeah. 10 minutes later. Excuse me, honey. Let me go to the restroom real quick. I'll be right back and come back with blood.
Absolutely.
What about you? What are your predictions?
Yeah, I think there's gonna be another shoe to drop with the father. There's something going on. There's gonna be a shoe to drop there. He might It's like Diamond Pack Part 2. There was twins. Because I do believe he's contrite, but that doesn't mean you don't have an ulterior motive. Same thing with Miranda.
I can see him being a villain.
I can see him popping up
as a villain.
You never know, you know what I mean? Yeah. Even the most righteous man can stray from the path, you know what I mean? So maybe, you know, outrageous predictions.
The most righteous in the past.
You know what I mean? when you open that pulpit and you got that congregation, you tend to forget about your transgressions.
What about you, Sean? My prediction is Tilda. She's so interesting.
She's very interesting, though.
You know, where she's afraid, but now she's drawn to certain stuff. And I'm going to say, I think Tilda will eventually get involved with Luke Cage and take over from Mariah without him realizing it. I think she'll get corrupted and kind of take over that spot.
I like it.
That's a good one.
So,
I like it.
But I think we're going to watch her. I think we're going to watch that evolution, you know, which I think is going to be pretty interesting. I love watching these characters that are sort of conflicted or really good and kind of watch them walk themselves into danger, right? So, well, that's episodes 1 and 2. We got 3 and 4 coming, guys. So glad you guys joined us. Again, my name is Shaka Smith. You guys can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at Shaka Strong.
Oh, your boy Evan T. Mac. Instagram, Twitter, at Evan T. Mac. I'll let your boy, man.
All right. Zia, you can find me just on Instagram at Zia_land.
And Funny Sarai, FUNNYSAYRIE on Instagram and Twitter. Also on Facebook at Sarai Comedian. And also check me out on Tuesday nights here. For the 100.
We'll see you guys for episodes 3 and 4. See you guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz see you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.